ഓം അജ്ഞാനതമിര അന്ധസ്യ ജ്ഞാനാഞ്ജനശലാകയ ചക്ഷുരുന്മിലിതാം യേന തസ്മൈ ശ്രീഗുരവേ നമ. ശ്രീചൈതന്യമനോഭീഷ്ടാം സ്ഥാപിതാം യേന ഭൂതലെ സ്വയം രൂപകദാ മഹ്യം ദദാതി സ്വപദാന്തികം. വന്ദേഹം ശ്രീഗുരു ശ്രീയുതാപദകമലം ശ്രീഗുരും വൈഷ്ണവാംശ്ച ശ്രീരൂപം സാഗ്രജാതം സഹഗണരഘുനാഥാൻവിതം തം സജീവം സാദ്വൈതം സാവധൂതം പരിജനാസഹിതം കൃഷ്ണചൈതന്യദേവം ശ്രീരാധാകൃഷ്ണപദാം സഹഗണലളിതാം ശ്രീവിശാഖാൻവിതാംശ്ച. ഹേ കൃഷ്ണ കരുണാ സിന്ധു ദീനബന്ധോ ജഗൽപദേ ഗോപേശ ഗോപികാകാന്ത രാധാകാന്ത നമോസ്തുതേ. തപ്തകാഞ്ചന ഗൗരാംഗീ രാധേ വൃന്ദാവനേശ്വരി വൃഷഭാനുസുതേ ദേവി പ്രണമാമി ഹരിപ്രിയേ. വാഞ്ചകൽപതരുഭ്യശ്ച കൃപാസിന്ധുഭ്യേവ ച പതിതാനാം പാവനേഭ്യോ വൈഷ്ണവേഭ്യോ നമോ നമഃ. ശ്രീകൃഷ്ണ ചൈതന്യ പ്രഭോ നിത്യാനന്ദ ശ്രീ അദ്വൈത ഗദാധാര ശ്രീവാസാദി ഗൗരഭക്തവൃന്ദ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാം 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാം 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. ഹരേ കൃഷ്ണ 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ, ഹരേ രാം 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 ഹരേ ഹരേ. No, no, it's okay, it's okay. It's all right, it's enough. So Krishna says, my asakta manaparta yogam yunjan madashraya asamshayam samagram mam yatha jnasyasi tat shrunu. Krishna began the 7th chapter with that, isn't it? And then Krishna says, jnanam teham savijnanam yadam bhakshyami asheshada യജ്ഞാത്വാനേഹ ഭൂയോന്യൽ ജ്ഞാതവ്യം അവശിഷ്യതേ. വി ഹാവ് സീൻ ദോസ് ടു വേഴ്സസ് ആൻഡ് ദെൻ ദ തേർഡ് വൺ. മനുഷ്യാണാം സഹസ്രേഷു കശ്ചിത് യതതി സിദ്ധയേ യതതാമഭി സിദ്ധാനാം കശ്ചിന്മാം വേത്തി തത്വത. കൃഷ്ണ സേസ് മനുഷ്യാണാം സഹസ്രേഷു കശ്ചിത് യതതി സിദ്ധയേ യതതാം അഭി സിദ്ധാനാം Kashin Maam Veti Tatvada. So that is the one we were discussing last on Monday, and we saw there that the Krishna's point was that this particular verse is a very important verse in the sense that it signifies the difference between spiritual life and all other activities in the material life. In the spiritual life, Krishna is saying, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye. Out of millions of people, very few have a desire for perfection in life, isn't it? Manush kaschid yadadi siddhaye. They come to spiritual life. Out of millions, a few people only come to spiritual life. And he says here, although they are all at different levels in spiritual life, because from different previous lifetimes, people have different state of consciousness when they come to the current material body. So because of these variations, somebody is in a first class, or somebody is in a nursery class, or somebody is in a PhD level, it doesn't matter. But they have all come to spiritual life. They have all come to spiritual life. That is the point. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhai. Once you have boarded the train, whether you are in the last compartment or in the first compartment, once the train has started moving, everybody starts moving along with that. That is the system. That means it's not that once you have started spiritual life, there's no question of going back again. Yadadamabi yatnam sarvam yatnam kurvadam siddhanam. Everyone who is endeavoring in spiritual life, Krishna calls, he is a siddha. He is a siddha because he will attain perfection one day. It may not happen today, but it will happen one day. In these words, what Krishna is saying is that manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye. Everyone who has come to spiritual life is perfect, Krishna says. He will reach perfection. If not today, one day. It will happen to him. Because the fact is that everyone who has belongs to same category, because the goal they have decided that they want spiritual realization, self-realization in other words. Although normally in spiritual life, many people will come. Sometimes they may have different motivations. They may not be perfectly situated in the sense that the ultimate goal of self-realization may not be in their heart, in their mind, but still they had come. But it may eventually, they will also change their goal from their material life to the spiritual path. So, it does not matter. Once the goal is the main thing. That's what Krishna keeps repeating. Once the goal is decided, and once it is established that the goal is realizing the self, once you have come to the spiritual life, it does not matter where they come from, which country or which part of the world they come from. Once you have come to the circle of spiritual life, then he is in the right path. That is the first thing. That is the first two lines. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye. That's what those two lines are saying. That is the first part. And in other words, the spiritual life is very interesting that way. In material life, suppose you have to pass the examination, you have to study and pass the exam. Some of us may pass, some of us may not pass. But spiritual life is not like that. Everyone who has sat for the exam, he will pass at the end. In other words, once you have come to spiritual life, there is no question of falling back again. It is a progressive thing, continues to exist. So, whoever comes to spiritual life, Krishna is saying there that they will go in the proper way. So, this is what we were discussing on Monday. Spiritual activity is a very particularly unusual situation. Once we have decided that we want to realize the truth, we want to come out of this material life once for all, then you have boarded the train. You have boarded the train and the train will go. But important point, Krishna is saying, out of millions of people in this world, only very few are endeavoring for spiritual life. Only few have endeavoring for spiritual life. That is the first thing Krishna is saying here. Out of the many millions of people, few endeavor for spiritual life. This we can see that in our own experience, isn't it? So, then in the next two lines, that is more important. Yatadam abhisiddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvada. These two lines requires a lot of explanations, because out of those who had come, Krishna is saying that yatadam abhisiddhanam, those who are coming to the spiritual life, they are called siddhas, because they will attain perfection one day. Itadam avi siddhanam, among those who have come like that, kaschin mam veti tatvada, only few realizes the truth. Only few realizes the truth in this very life. Only few kaschin mam veti tatvada. Now you will see this word tatvada throughout Bhagavad Gita, throughout Srimad Bhagavatam. People start wondering, what is this tatvam tatvam we are talking about, isn't it? You look at Bhagavad Gita, we saw this before. We discussed this also before, if you remember. Janmam karmacha me divyam evam yo veti tatvada tektva deham punarjanmam neidi mameidi. So Arjuna, Krishna says, isn't it, in the earlier. Now Krishna is saying that manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye yadadam abhi siddhanam kaschinmam veti tatvada. Again tatvam he talks about. At the end of Bhagavad Gita, in this 18th chapter also, again Krishna will say, that is, he says there, Krishna mentions, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tattvada tadomam tattvado yatva vishade tadanandaram. There is a verse in the 18th chapter. So there is something about this tattvam, so concerned Krishna is talking repeatedly again and again in different chapters. So what is this tattvam? Earlier in the 4th chapter, Krishna said, Janma karma cha me divyam evam yo veti tattvada tektva deham punarjanmam neidi mameidi. So Arjuna, one. Now Krishna is saying, manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yadadi siddhaye yadadam abhi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tattvada. At the end of the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Bhaktamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tatvada tadomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. So tatvam is important, understanding the tatvam. Tatvam is the one which eventually realizes the truth. Tatvam is realization of the truth. So in the Bhagavadam, if you look, you will see, kamasya indriya pradir labho jiveda yavada jivasya tattvajnyasa, says. Tattvajnyasa. Knowing the tattvam is important. Sudha Goswami says to Shaunak Rishi and the other sages present in Namisharanyam. He says that kamasya indriya predi labho jiveda yavada jivasya tattvajnyasa nartho yascheha karmabhi. Then after that, straight away he says, vadandida tattvavidam tattvam yajnanam advayam brahmedi paramatmedi bhagavaniti shabdyade. So tattvam is the main thing in the Bhagavadam, Bhagavad Gita, everything tattvam is spoken. So knowing tattvam is important. We talked about this tattvam before when we discussed this janma karma cha me divyam. Again I will repeat the same thing once again to understand what that tattvam means. So one who knows janma karma sarva bhudanshaya sthita aham adyanja madyanja bhudanam andamevacha. Now Krishna is appearing in this world. One who understands this pastimes of Krishna, that pastimes of Krishna, Krishna comes to protect the devotees. And one who understands Krishna and understanding that it is Krishna's mercy, and instead of just getting carried away by Krishna's form alone, one who knows the essence of Krishna, that is what this tattva means. The essence of what Krishna means. Krishna comes, and when we see Krishna's beautiful form, we get attracted to that form. There is no doubt about that. But simply getting attracted to the form without knowing the Krishna tattvam, what is Krishna? Without knowing that the essence of Krishna, internal activities of Krishna, Krishna's realization of Krishna in the proper way, like in the 10th chapter case, aham atma gudagesha sarva bhudashaya sthita aham adyanja madyanja bhudanam andamevacha. There is a verse there. Arjuna, you should know, aham atma gudagesha, I am the soul in everyone, sarva bhudashaya sthita, in all the living entities, and me, I am the beginning and beginning, middle and the end. Aham adyantam adyantam bhutanam andameva cha. I am the beginning, I am the middle, and I am the end of all the living entities. This is the tattva. Tattva means this, that seeing Krishna in that first beautiful form, Shyamasundara, or Krishna's form, and getting attracted to that is very good. It is necessary also. But one who has known tattvam, he sees that Krishna as aham alma gudakesha sarvabhudashayastida. That realization, aham adyanjam adyanjam bhudanam andamevacha, that is the principle. That is Krishna's principle. So, one who realizes that, knowing Krishna as the soul of everyone, and then he is knowing the tattvam. Why we say like these things? There's some subtle aspects of that. In the material life also, if you simply get attracted to someone on the external form, sometimes people do get attracted to the form of a person. Namarupam, isn't it? Name and the form. You get attracted to the external form, but that attraction can always also sometimes create hate later. That's a love on the external side. External aspect of love can develop into hate sometimes because there is no tattva jnanam. Tattvam is not there. That is why it happens. So, love and hate is two sides of the same coin. Two sides of a same coin. We must analyze these things within our own dealings with the rest of the world. So we'll know that this love and hate is two sides of the same coin because it's based without any proper knowledge behind it. If there is knowledge, Krishna is saying here, you can try this in our own life at home, in the family life itself, that if you feel attachment to someone without proper knowledge behind it, and if you suddenly see that that love is developing very strongly, and on an emotional level, one has to be very careful at that stage. One has to be very careful. You will never know when that love will turn into hate. This happens all the time. This happens all the time. We may think that the love is, I am in love with somebody or love someone. But that love, if without tattva-jnanam, without the knowledge of the tattvam behind it, it can develop that the same love at some point can turn into hate. And can turn into hate. Because these emotions can operate at any time on any center. It can either, on love, it can operate on hate as well, because it's an emotion. Emotions are like that. So love can turn into hate, and hate can turn to love also, in the opposite way. That also happens sometimes. So, knowing very well these things, Krishna says here, only with the knowledge alone, you should develop love or hate towards anybody, including Krishna. Including Krishna. You can see this. People who are simply worshipping deity without any understanding of this principle, they will love Krishna. Krishna will reciprocate sometime. If sometime Krishna doesn't reciprocate, that means if some of their material desires did not get fulfilled, they will pack up and go. They will say, what's the use? Krishna is not helping. This love and hate relationship is all like this in this world. So Krishna's point is that every relationship in this world must be based on knowledge, jnanam. Otherwise, tattva jnanam. So, Krishna avataram, when Krishna appeared in this world, this is the first thing Krishna taught Vasudevan Devaki. Vasudevan Devaki had the same problem. Our dear son Krishna is with us. And that's how they taught. So, there he says, Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena cha asakral chindayando kridasneho yasya del malgadim param. That was the first instructions to Vasudevan Devaki. Remember this, Vasudevan Devaki loved Krishna, not in one lifetime, three lifetimes. But that love was very much on an external level. External level. When three times Krishna appeared as their son, isn't it? Sutapa Prashnigarbha, the first one. Vamanamurti, a second one, and last, now Krishna has come. So, in the earlier two lifetimes, Krishna appeared as their son, and they loved Krishna, but still Tattvam did not happen to them. Tattvajnanam was not there. This is the problem. If Tattvajnanam did not develop, till then you have to keep taking birth again and again, till that comes, till Tattvajnanam happens. So therefore, in the third appearance, when Krishna appeared, Krishna said this to them, to Vasudeva and Devaki, Yuvamam putra bhavena, you should know me as your son, that's fine. And you should show all your love and affection to me, that's okay. But Brahma bhavena chasakrat, that you should also know me who I am, Brahma bhavam. Brahma bhavam means knowing Krishna as the soul in everyone, Brahmam. Brahmam aspect, Brahmasmi, that realization must follow that. If it doesn't happen, Brahma bhavena cha sakrat chindayando kradasnehav, that you should show all the love to me as your child, yasyede malgadim param. But if Brahma bhavam is there, you can ultimately come back to the spiritual world. Otherwise, you come back again here. But that attachment was so strong that Krishna started seeing every time he is not able to give up that attachment. Who? Vasudeva and Devaki. So deliberately Krishna created that forced Kamsa to kill the six of them before that. Right in front of them. Vasudeva and Devaki in front of them. All the six of them were killed by Kamsa, isn't it? It was deliberately done because this attachment on the external level is so dangerous. That's why he's saying that Yuvamam putra bhavena brahma bhavena chasakra chindayando kradasnehav. This you can experience in life also. Sometimes people get married and when you see them in their early days, the love and attraction and attachment and all that, oh, they're made for each other, we say. Isn't it? Hardly it lasts for 3 months or 6 months or 1 year. Then they become the bitter enemies in this world. Very clear, isn't it? We always notice this happening. Sometimes it takes a little longer. It lasts a little longer than that. 10 years or 12 years, 15 years. Even after 30 years it's happening. So what can you say? So this is why that one has to be careful about this relationship called the love. Loving relationship in this world. It will end up like this. If we don't want that distress to come, Krishna is saying here, Tattvam. Understand the tattvam. So any love, so therefore bhakti also is like that. Without knowing what is Krishna, if we just get attracted to the form, Krishna looks so beautiful, everything is nice. But some distress comes suddenly, then Krishna is useless. We don't want to know anything about Krishna after that. So why does that happen? Because tattvam jnanam is not there. This is why Krishna is saying here. So this is not only this, all these pastimes of Krishna in the Bhagavadam is also to tell the householders to be cautious. So tell the householders to be cautious. So this is true not only in Krishnavadaram, Krishna's appearance, our own children also, we have to be in the same way. We have to face the same music. That we have to realize this thing, that this body will grow one day. And it will, body's nature is like that, isn't it? Six kinds of transformation in the body. What that jayate, it takes birth. Parinami, it starts parinama. Parinama means changes will happen in the body. And the body will start have its own changes will happen, and from that body byproducts or whatever creations will come from that. And it will start deteriorating, decay and death in the eventually. So six kinds of, Shad Parinama Bhedam they call it, the six kinds of transformation happens to the body. Happens to the body. So, or in other words, the whole personality may go away somewhere else. Sometimes it happens, isn't it? Somebody who is who has lived in England with the parents, children may decide one day to go to Australia or something, somewhere to go and live there. Therefore, these relationships are not permanent. These relationships are not permanent. Only thing to understand is that whatever form you see, to take it that Krishna has come in that form in front of us, and whatever you can do, do that for them, but never expect anything in return. This should be the understanding while dealing with the children, wife, parents, family members, everybody. This has to be the principle, that with expectations that something will come back from them, if you develop any relationship with anyone in this world, it will be ultimately, it can cause frustration. So, or if you expect that I'm going to receive some happiness from them, or any moment in life, the bomb can blast. Any moment it can happen in life. So sometimes, without our knowledge, we may not have the strength at that time when it happens. And all the same time, unusual way, unexpected way, a hate can develop also inside. So this is the important point. People say love is God and all that, isn't it? Love is God. So when this breakup happens, where is your God has gone? Where the God has gone? That is the question. So in love also, there is false ego. In that love also, that nothing is pure. We think it's all pure. Nothing is pure. There is false ego in there, packed inside. And that love is nothing but selfishness. Nothing but selfishness. It is very bluntly to put it, because that selfishness is behind it. We may say it is not, but still it is there. Because who says this? I'm not saying. Yajnavalkya Maharshi is saying this, so it has to be correct. He says this in the Brahadaranyam. He says that. So love is not for receiving anything. If you want that, not to have any kind of distress in that loving relationship, then the bodily identity should be given up. You have to move beyond the body. You have to go beyond the body. That means vyaktitalam. Vyaktitalam means in the level of personality we are relating with people, isn't it? Namarupam, name and form. That's what the relationship is. Based on name and based on the form. Unless it moves beyond than that, this problem will happen. This problem will happen. The personality, personality who is showing love, he has no individuality, in other words. The person who shows the love, he has no individuality. And instead of imposing that individuality on the person who is receiving that love, we are there also, we have to understand that relationship is based on a spiritual level, on a spiritual platform, knowing whatever it may be. And if it is based on the platform of the soul, it will not develop into hate. If it is based on the body, it will certainly change its nature. It has to be understood that way. Otherwise, any relationship, if you accept it that it is also another soul who is inside that body, which is Krishna's presence in that body, in that case, the hate will not develop. That's what Krishna is saying here. a devotee cannot have this love-hate relationship in this world. Cannot have it. Even if it comes, he should be able to wipe it out straight away. Should be able to wipe it out straight away. So, because when we execute bhakti, knowing Krishna in truth, in tattvam, and with loving relationship with Krishna, tektva deham, that was in the last verse, janma karma jame divyam, evam yo veti tattvada tektva deham. Even if the body drops away, even if the body drops away, and even if that person whom we are loving, his body drops off, our love will not go. Our love will remain. We are thinking that loving is because we are so used to loving on a bodily level with others, or relationship on a bodily level with everybody, it will drop when the body drops. Or it has this problem that on a bodily relationship, love can turn to hate, hate can turn to love also. But tektva deham punarjanma neidi mameti. Krishna is saying, if that relationship is based on a platform of the soul, in other words, what does that mean? It means that we realize in Krishna's presence in another person purely on the spiritual understanding, not caring for that form and the name of the person, that the soul, Krishna, he is present in someone, and therefore you have a loving relationship with Krishna in that way, through that person. If it happens like that, Krishna says that relationship will exist forever. Exist forever. In the same way, our relationship with Krishna also in the same way. Such a person, Krishna is saying, doesn't have to accept another body again. Tektual deham punarjanma neiti mameti. Then you can come back to me. So that is the principle behind it. So all gopis, this is there in the Bhagavatam also, the same principle in the Gopika Gita. What does it say there? There it says that gopis came to Krishna, seeing the beautiful form. Initially it was like that. Form of Krishna, they got attracted to. They had no idea that at that time that Krishna, they didn't know how to love Krishna in the platform of the soul and everything. They had no idea about that. They just got attracted to Krishna, and that attraction, this was arranged by Krishna out of his mercy to the gopis, that somehow they were attracted to Krishna. So, and what happened after that? When Krishna left Vrindavanam, they were in distress. Isn't it? You know that. When Krishna, Akrura came and took him to Krishna and Balaram to Vrindavanam, they got very distressed about that. So Gopi started crying. Then we have that incident when Radharani and other gopis, they were constantly accusing Akrura for taking Krishna and Balaram away. So, dussaha preshta viraha tivrata tapadudha ashubha dhyana prapta achyuta ashlesha nirvrutya kshina mangala. He says there, that dussaha preshta viraha, that separation from Krishna was unbearable for them. Tivrata abadudha ashubha, that it burned their heart so much by that separation from him. And that same gopis are saying, nakali gopi ka anandano bhavan akhila dehina amandara alpa drikka. When Krishna disappeared from the middle of Rasa dance, and later on when Krishna came back, they sang Gopika Gita, isn't it? At that time, how did the gopis say, nakali gopi ka anandano bhavan akhila dehina amandara alpa drikka? That you are not the son of Yashoda Devi. That's the very gopis who were feeling separation in the beginning, now they are speaking in a different way, addressing Krishna, saying to Krishna, you are not the son of Yashoda Devi. Akhila dehina amandara almadrakka. That who is present in everyone inside as andaralma. This has only happened during the rasa dance. Krishna say, the gopis were saying this, isn't it? But sometimes they forget and then they again go back to the old state. That is why Uddhava was sent there to remind them that akhila dehina amandara almadrakka. If Krishna is present in everyone, where is the separation? Separation is when you come to the bodily level, isn't it? When you see through the body, you see the separation. But once you come to the platform of the soul, there is no separation. Krishna is always present in everyone. We can never say that Krishna is separated at any time, isn't it? But in the beginning, when that realization has not happened, at that stage, there is separation in the physical level. So that is why Sukadeva Goswami says at that time, that Sukadeva Goswami makes fun of gopis at that stage. After Krishna disappeared from among the middle of the gopis, and Krishna went away, isn't it? Then Krishna took Radharani away, and then finally Radharani was also left behind, and Krishna disappeared from everybody. So all of the gopis were searching for Krishna everywhere. So Sudeva Goswami is asking, who are you searching for? He's asking the gopis, who are you searching for? Inside and outside. Inside and outside. Like the sky, who is present everywhere. Krishna is present in everyone. And are you searching for Him? And asking these trees and plants and creepers, everybody, have you seen Krishna? Gopis were asking at that time, isn't it? So Krishna lifted them up and brought them into proper realization at that stage. Krishna gave them that understanding, and then the very people who were searching a few hours before, asking the trees and plants and creepers, have you seen Krishna, have you seen Krishna? They are singing this song, Nakali Gobiga Nandano Bhavan, Akhila Dehina Mandaral Madruk. That you are not Yashoda Devi's son, you are present in everyone. And Akhila Dehinam Andaral Madruk. And also you can see, when that realization comes, they gave up their inquiry. After Akrura took Krishna and Balaram away, if gopis wanted, they could have gone also to Mathura. But then they realized it, that Krishna is present inside. He's present inside, so they didn't go. They didn't go because of that. That was the reason they didn't go. In other words, they knew that this distress due to separation is purely due to ignorance. In other words, purely due to ignorance. Krishna is not in Mathura alone. And suppose you go to Mathura looking for Krishna, Krishna can go away from there to somewhere else. Then what do you do? So that is not the proper realization. Gopi's realization was that He is present all the time, everywhere. Akhila Dehinam Andaral Madruk. This is the realization necessary in spiritual life. Otherwise, we will be running. Krishna is only in Vrindavan, Krishna is only in Mayapur, Krishna is only in Dwaraka. This concept will get firmly rooted inside. And that's not the proper understanding. That is not Tattvam. Tattvam is to see that Krishna is present everywhere, in every living entity. So they gave up that inquiry. And this anubhuti, this realization is inside. And that thing, what takes away this realization from us is ignorance. Is ignorance. So therefore, janma karma jam divyam evam veti tattvada. Krishna's appearance and disappearance, we have to understand in this way. We have to understand in this way. So the same gopis who sang Jayadit Edigam Janmana Vraja Shraidam Indira Shashvadatrahi Deida Drishyadam Dikshuda Davada Stoidrudasa Vastvam Vijinvate. That is the first verse in the Gopiya Gita. Gopis are saying Jayadit Edigam Janmana Vraja. By Krishna's appearance, what has happened? Vrajam, Vrindavanam has become very auspicious place because of Krishna's appearance. And because of Krishna, Shraidam Indira Shashwadatrahi, Indira is Lakshmi Devi. She is present there all the time because of Krishna's appearance. This is the first verse in the Gopiya Gita. And the same gopis are saying later, Nakalu Gopika Anandano Bhavan, you are not son of Yashoda Devi, you are not one who belongs to this Vrindavanam alone. Akhila Dehina Mandaral Madruk. You are present in everyone. And also they said, Jaralpana Paramatmadaya Smarandhyaha. That Jaralpana, they approached Krishna initially as their lover. But later on they realized he is the Paramatma of the super soul of everyone. So it is after this, for some time, they had experienced this separation, distress due to separation. And eventually, Krishna sent Uddhava to talk to them about it. So, when Uddhava came to remind them, by then their distress is gone away. And Tatastha Krishna Sandesher Vibheda Viraha Jvara Uddhavam Pujayam Chakru Yatvalpanam Adho Akshajam. When Uddhava comes and sees gopis, and after Uddhava has reminded them about some incidents, what happened when Krishna was present in Vrindavanam, particularly the pastimes where the wildfire one day attacked them, isn't it? All over Vrindavanam, when they were in the forest tending the cows, Krishna was there, the gopis were there, Balaram was there. There was a boiled fire all around. Krishna told them to close their eyes, and within a few moments, they were all taken to somewhere else far away from the fire. Wow, Yogeshwara, Krishna's yogic power. He brought that in and took them away from there and protected them. So at that time, what happened? How did that happen? Uddhava asked them that when they closed their eyes, they saw Krishna inside the heart. Inside the heart. They never felt separation from Krishna. So, tadasta Krishna sandesher. When Uddhava came and spoke about Krishna like this to gopis, tadasta Krishna sandesher vibheda virahajvaram. That virahajvaram means the feeling of separation that has gone away from them. And what did they do? Uddhavam pujayam chakro. They worshipped Uddhava at that time. Gopis worshipped Uddhava for bringing this realization to them. Nyatva alpanam athokshajam. Knowing very well who Krishna is at that point. Nyatva alpanam. That he is the soul of everyone. This realization Uddhava brought them back. That was the message Krishna sent through Uddhava to them. So, virahajvaram. Bhagavadam says that they lost that fever of separation and they worshipped Uddhava. Because why did they worship Uddhava in that way? Atmanam yatva. Knowing that Krishna is the soul of everyone. That is why they worshipped Uddhava. Inside Uddhava also, Krishna is present. And Krishna is such a vastu. Vastu, you remember vastu, the word. That in the Bhagavadam, the word vastu is used as Krishna. Vastu means the real, sat, what exists. That's all what exists in this whole creation. So that vastu is Krishna. That's why he says that. Uddhavam bhujayam chakrutnyatvalpmanam athokshajam. So therefore, once you have come to understand that Krishna is present in everyone and there is no question of separation from Krishna. And that is why at the end of Bhagavad Gita, Krishna is saying, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yaman yaschasmi tatvada tatomam tatvado jnatva vishade tadanandaram. Krishna is saying that through bhakti alone, Krishna says, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi. When bhakti develops in a person, this will happen. What will happen? Yavan yaschasmi tatvada. He will understand the tattvam behind it, this tattvam, that Krishna is not someone from you can be separated. You can never be separated. That is the truth. But at the moment, we don't have that realization. We are saying Krishna is somewhere, I am somewhere. If I will happen to meet Krishna, if I get to realize the truth, or if I, after death, when I go to Golokam, I might see him there. All these kind of illusions in our head. That is not spiritual. That is a materialistic way of understanding things. Proper understanding is that there is no question of separation from Krishna at any moment. Always there with us. And he is the only person who is with us, not the wife, children, family members, society, community. He is the only one who is with us throughout this spiritual journey. He is the only person who is present with us. But so when you come to that realization properly, then Krishna is saying, Bhaktyamam abhijanadi yavan yaschasmi tatvada. That is the tatvam. Tatomam tatvado jnatva. When you come to that under realization of that, Vishade tadanandaram, then you can enter into me. You can come back to him. You can go back to him. It's not spoken on a bodily level. It's all spoken from the spiritual level. Just like when he spoke in the second chapter, Krishna spoke Sangyam. All from the spiritual platform. Everything in the Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavadam, is spoken from the spiritual plane, not from the bodily level. That's what we must remember. So many things you will say. Kapila Vasudeva says to the Ahuri Devi, because you are frightened of me, the wind is blowing, the fire is burning, and the water is quenching the thirst. So many things he says there. Madbhayedi, he says. It's not that like in the material level we say, oh, they are all frightened of Kapila Vasudeva, so they are all doing their work. No, it's not like that. What he's saying is, because of me, when he's saying, because of that soul behind everything. It is that soul, Brahman. Brahman is the thing, what he's referring to. So, by bhakti, Krishna is saying, one should get closer to that truth. And at that time, Krishna himself will reveal that knowledge to us. That is how you realize it at the end. Krishna will, that is why we should cultivate bhakti, to receive this knowledge at the end, to realize this. So if that happens, such a person will not take birth again. This is what Krishna is saying. If he has come to realize that, because you can see, once that realization has happened, then you will see that birth and death is for the body, not for the person anymore. Isn't it? You are moved away from the bodily level. That's why that realization has come. Dektva janmam punarjanmam edi mahamedi sorjuna. That means punarjanmam, repetition of birth, is over. And they will become the same attributes of Krishna will develop. And also they will know that nothing exists separated from Krishna. That is Krishna's comment on that word. Krishna's comment on that word. So, janma karma jame divyam evam yo veti tattvada tektva deham punarjanma neidi mameti sorjuna. We discussed that verse. So there we have seen what tattva means. And here also Krishna is saying the same thing in a different way. What Krishna says here is that we saw that out of millions of people, only very few people put effort into spiritual life, isn't it? Very few people put effort into spiritual life. Those who have put effort in spiritual life, only very few become qualified for realizing this truth. For realizing this truth. And this realization is called samadhi. This realization of tattvam is called samadhi. In yogi's language it is samadhi. Jnani's language, it is tattva, tattva jnanam. That's all. That's all the differences. Tattva jnanam is the language of the jnani. Samadhi is the language of the yogi. So, one who has this tattva jnanam, Krishna is saying, he is sthitapragna, man of steady intelligence. We remember in the second chapter, what did they call sthitapragna? Sthitapragnato. That person who is sthitapragna, he has tattva jnanam. And tattvātma eva bhodaiva samādhi iti kathyate. Tattvātma eva bhodaiva samādhi iti kathyate. Tattvātma eva bhodaiva. One who has realized that tattvam, he is in the samādhi state. Ātma tattvajñāna bhodam. In other words, that what is that tattvajñānam? Tattvajñānam should be like this, that body, our material body, has boyhood, youthhood, old age, and all changes are happening in the body, isn't it? These things we never think about. That is the problem. If we think all these things are happening in the body, we won't be so frightened about this death also. Because death, why is frightening? Because body is changing. You can't hold on to any body for a long period of time. When we were born, we had one body. In a few years' time, it changed. We became boys or girls. And then another few more years, we became teenagers. Another few more years, we became young men or women. And then middle-aged, and then the old age, and then the end, the death. Isn't it? So these things, when all these things are happening, and this is happening in the body, in the mind, it's constantly changing also in the same way. Because Chitavritti changes. How if you look back into your own life and see how your mind was operating when you were young, say about 20 or 25, how the mind was operating. Or if you think about your own mind when you were a little boy of 8 or 10 years old, how the mind was at that time. It is interesting, isn't it? At that, when you are 8 or 10 years old, a lot of wants to play and enjoy life, isn't it? And when you grow up, 20, 25, you start working, earning, then you want to have family life, all those plans goes on inside the mind. That's what was going through the mind all the time. And when you get to the old age, you start, when this is going to come to an end. Why then mind is changed again? You have not changed.
It's only these thoughts are changing. So just like the body has changed, the mind is also changing. Nothing is staying permanent here, is there? Same way with the intelligence also. The intelligence which was there in the youth is not there today. Why? Because intelligence has changed. That's why. Depending on the mind, intelligence will function also in the same way, isn't it? So intelligence has also changed. When you make a decision now, you'll become more rational, more thoughtful about it. You may think, in the youth you made some decision, took risks in life in various ways, and you are willing to face the situation. But now, you are not thinking that way anymore. You think, what is it after all? And it's all going to come to an end anyway, so why worry, bother? That attitude comes, isn't it? So everything is changing. And Krishna says here, one who, when all these changes are happening, body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing, even the ego is changing. Is it not? When you are in the youth, anyone tells you anything, you won't take note of it. You'll think, oh, I know what's better. The ego inside, it is like that, isn't it? I know what's right. But when you get older, you start realizing that I don't know anything, what is better. Everywhere, whatever I've done has all ended up in disaster. So when you start seeing that, your ego naturally gets a little bit affected. So ego also is not the same. It keeps changing because the ego is not a real thing. That's the problem. It all depends on the mind. So what Krishna's point is that all these people, one who has realized the truth, what is the difference? Difference is that when body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing, ego is changing. When all these changes are happening, one who is conscious of who he is, which is unchanging, I am that. If that realization is tattvajnanam, that is called tattvajnanam. So that means every moment we have to break up ourselves, not thinking that I am this body, I am this body, I am this body, holding on to it all the time. Every moment we have to break up. Body is changing, mind is changing, intelligence is changing, ego is changing, I am not changing. It is why I am that consciousness, bodham, inside. I am none of the other things. This is the only way we can get out of it. Otherwise, there is no other way. Otherwise, continuously identifying with the body and thinking that, what did this happen to me before? Why did it happen to me now? All kinds of ignorance will come. So, that is why Krishna is saying here, one who has realized this within himself, while he is living in this world, he got this truth filtered out and realized it. He got this truth filtered out and realized it in this very body. He is liberated. So what means? Everybody who has come to spiritual life, he is initiated. But this particular person who has realized the truth, he is illumined. That's the difference. Anyone who has come to spiritual life is initiated into that path. But one who has realized this truth while living within this body, he is illumined. So, everyone who executes sadhana, they are in the right path. One who is executing sadhana, they are... And one day or the other, all of us, one day or the other, we will get to know this truth. But only very few among us who are intensely wants to get released from this misery, material existence, they will experience the truth right now here while in this body and realize it at the end and realize while leaving this body. That is what those two lines are saying. Yatatam abhi siddhanam kaschin mam veti tattvata. That is the importance of that verse. Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschit yadati siddhaye yadadam abhisiddhanam kaschinmam veti tattvada. So Krishna is saying that everyone, there are many people in this world in spiritual life practicing, isn't it? Among those who are practicing, practice the spiritual life. If you look into this world, you can see tattvajnanis are very few. Tattvajnanis are very few. There are yogis, there are siddhas, there are devotees. Among all of them, there will be tattvajnani. Tattvajnanis will be there. Among all of them, among the yogis also, among the siddhas, among the devotees also, who knows this tattvam, there will be very few. So this bhakti along with tattvajnanam, or knowledge along with tattvajnanam, and yogam along with tattvajnanam, that is rare. Devotees will be there, but devotees with tattvajnanam will be rare. There will be a lot of devotees. Everyone who is initiated, they will all be not initiated. I mean, everyone who has started chanting Hare Krishna, they are all come to the path. There's no doubt about that. There's no doubt about that. He may be even initiated, but he will not be illumined. That is the point. Illumination is the perfection of spiritual life. So among the yogis, among the jnanis, among the devotees also, there are people who have all come to the process of self-realization, but those who have tattvajnanam will be very few among them, will be very few. That is why Krishna is saying here that those who know me, Krishna says, in the proper way, the tattvam, tattvigam, let's call it, and one who knows me in that way, he is special. He is very special, Krishna says. And saying that, he is very special, Krishna says, he is going to talk about that tattvajnanam from now onwards. That's the next verse. Verses number is 4, isn't it?
Bhumirapanalo vayu khammano buddhirevacha ahankara itiyamme bhinna prakritirashtatha bhumirapanalo vayu khammano buddhirevacha ahankara iti yamme bhinna prakriti rashtatha.
Now, earlier verse, Krishna says, manushyanam madhye sahasreshu anegeshu kaschid yadati prayatnam karodi siddhaye siddhyartham. In the commentary on that verse, he says, manushyanam madhye sahasreshu, among thousands of men, anegeshu kaschid yadati prayatnam karodi. Those who are endeavoring for this perfection of self-realization, siddhaye siddhyartham, are very rare. Tesham yadadam abhi siddhanam siddha evahi te ye mokshaye yatante tesham kaschid evahi mam veti tattudo yathavat. Ajari Swami says, Tesham Yadadam Abhi Siddhanam, among those Siddhas who have come to that path, Siddha Evahite Ye Mokshaya Yatande, who will eventually reach their state of self-realization, Tesham Kaschid Evahi Mam Veti Tattvado Yathavat. One who has known me in Tattvam alone will make that state of self-realization. So Tattvajnanam is a necessity in spiritual life. Tattvajnanam is a necessity. Many people come to spiritual life, isn't it? They all will go back at the end. It will take time. And we should not think that, oh, one day I'm going to go back, so let me continue like this. So we shouldn't extend it ourselves. On the other side, what Krishna's point is that straight to this tattvam, straight away, and realize it immediately. So that in this very body, one can go back to Krishna. He doesn't have to come back again. If you have not tattvajnanam, if you have simply practiced bhakti without tattvajnanam, it is possible that you may have to come back again. But you will eventually go back. Not saying in this lifetime, eventually you will go back to Krishna. So that's why Krishna is going to talk about tattvam. This seventh chapter is important because of that. That it is this tattvam Krishna wants us to realize it. Bhumi rapanalo vayu kham mano buddhi revacha ahangara iti yame bhinna prakriti ashtada. So there,
In Dashashloka it says, na bhumihi, na toyam, na tejo, na vayu, na kham nendriyam va na tesham samoham, anegandhi gatva sushuptyega siddham, tadega vashishtam, shiva kevaloham. Krishna is saying exactly the same thing. In the Dashashloki, the same thing is spoken in a different way. He say, Krishna is saying here, prakriti. Prakriti means material nature. Bhumihi, abaha, analaha, vayuhu, kham, manaha, buddhihi, evaja ahangaraha. Eight things Krishna says here. Five material elements, earth, water, air, ether and fire, isn't it? Earth, water, air, ether and fire, five material elements. What else? Mind, intelligence and false ego, three. 5 plus 3, 8. These eight things, as far as Krishna is concerned, they are material nature. Earth, water, air, ether, fire, mind, intelligence and false ego, so 5 plus 3, 8. These eight things is material nature, prakriti. It's called prakriti. So we think, identify with the prakriti when we identify with the body. We are not prakriti, we are Krishna's part parcel, or we come from Krishna. The soul is Krishna's part and parcel. So partly it is Krishna, partly it is prakriti. That's what we are in this body. So this 8 is a number, very complex number. It's a complete number if you put 8. All other numbers is half left, isn't it? After 0, then the next complete number is 8. So you will notice in Sanskrit when they address some people, Pujya, Pujya Shri. Why this Pujya Shri? Pujya Shri means, it's not that he is 0. What it means is that he is in fully realized state. It's a matter of respect. Just like we say, is divine grace, isn't it? Same way, Pujya Shri in Sanskrit, they say like that. Because you address a person because he is purely on the spiritual platform. Therefore, he is Pujya Shri. And 8 is the representation of material nature, prakriti. So therefore, both 0 and 8 are important numbers. Important numbers. Bhuvi prithvi tanmatram uchyate na sthula. Now, what Krishna is going to say here is that this... So, just like 0... If 0 is complete letter, isn't it? It has no break anyway, it's complete. Similarly, 8 also, just like when you go for this driving test, they tell you to do 8 with the motorbike and scooter and all that. They ask you to do this 8, just to show whether you can drive it full. So, I don't know where they got that from, but 8 is a letter there, uses that for that. So, so this 8 is this 5 material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego. So material nature is 8. Purusha, the soul inside is 0. Soul inside is 0. So one who knows the 8 and one who knows the 0, he is complete, Krishna is saying. Not with intelligence. One who understands this, that the 0 and 8 is what, you know, this is only an example to get that understanding, that Pujyam is the nature of the soul. Soul is Pujyam. Pujyam means 0. And material body is 8. Material body is always 8. 8 means Maya. 8 means Maya. 1 is, and 0 means, zero means Krishna. Zero means Krishna. 8 means Maya. And one is manifested, other is unmanifested. Isn't it? 8 is manifested and 0 is unmanifested. One is absolute. Which one? 0 is absolute. The other one is relative. Other one is relative. So therefore Krishna says here, then 8 is prakriti and 0 or jiva is bodham, consciousness, and everything happens in the eight, but zero is the one witnessing. Zero is the one who is witnessing the light. Ashtadha Prakriti, Krishna says here. Now, about Prakriti, Krishna is going to talk to us about it. What is this speciality with Prakriti? It's a very nice way Krishna has put it to us to understand what Prakriti means. He says here, Bhumi Prithivi Tanmatra Muchyate Nastulaha. In other words, Bhumi, earth, then earth is not that gross earth what we see. That is not the earth Krishna is talking about. There is a sushma form. Sushma means a subtle form of that earth. Earth has a subtle form. That is in subtle form, it's called tanmatra. It's called tanmatra. So, and that subtle form of tanmatra, is there, most subtle form, that is in the earth. The tanmatra, or the most subtle form of Bhumi, is in the earth. You'll understand it better later. And it is there in the sky, it is there in the water. It is there in the sky, there in the water, and it is in our body as well. It's in our body as well. This is the most subtle form of Bhumi, earth, is present in the earth, it's present in the sky, it's present in the water, it's present in the fire, it's present in us also. You cannot tell anyone that if there is earth in my body, will anybody accept that? Scientists won't accept that. This is where Shastram comes. What science cannot tell us, Shastram will tell us. Science will tell us the body is made of the best they can explain this body is in terms of genes and cells and DNA and RNA and whatever things they have got to say to us. But Bhagavad Gita is saying to us that the sushmam, extreme subtle form of earth, is present in our body in a most subtle form which is called tanmatra. So, prithvi tanmatra muchyate nastulaha. Bhumi prithvi tanmatra muchyate. That tanmatram, it is spoken. And because, how do the Shastram says to us? Because it is there in us. That's why we are able to smell. This smelling thing, smell, is this tanmatra of earth. Smell. Isn't it? Shabdam, sparsham, rupam, rasam, gandham. Out of that gandham or smelling is the quality of earth. And it is there in us, that tanmatra, that is why we are able to smell. This is how it is proven. That is how it is proven. So, because of that, that earth is there inside, we are able to smell. Prithvi tanmatra muchyate na stulaha. That is not stulam, it's not gross, it is subtle. Then, bhinna prakriti ashtada iti vachana. So, here, ahan apam analam vayu kham. That means, apam water, analam fire, vayu is air, and kham is sky. Prithvi tanmatra, agni tanmatra, the tanmatra, the subtle, extreme, subtle, most subtle form of earth, of fire, of water, of air, of sky. All their tanmatras are in us. Their tanmatras are present in us. That is how we have to understand that. And that tanmatra is Krishna is talking about here. Apam analo vayukham mana idi manasa karanam ahankaro grihyate. He says here, manaha, Krishna says, bhumi apanalo vayukham mano buddhi evacha ahankara idi yame bhinna prakriti ashtada. When he says manaha, you have to realize ahankaram is there. Ahankara is also there. And he also says here, when you say manaha, it is from ahankaram manasa has come. This is a little, if you think about it, you will understand this, that from ahankaram comes manasa. How do we know that? See, when you wake up in the morning, first thing, aham vritti comes first. I am. And then the mind comes. Isn't it? First aham vritti comes. I am woken up. That aham, 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 I am, awareness. But it's on a false platform at that time. False ego is there. So from that false ego, mind has come. False ego, mind has come. It all happens in a second like that. Before you know, it all happened. There's no time to separately think about it. Oh, can the mind come out now? Or ahankaram has come now. Let the mind wake up now. No, ahankaram wakes up, mind wakes up straight away. Immediately it happens. So manaha, when Krishna says ahankaram, Krishna says ahankaram. Similarly, when he says of intelligence, buddhi, Krishna says, the cause of ahankaram is mahatattvam. Mahatattvam. Mahatattvam, this is in the process of creation. Mahatattvam pradhanam, we will see that in the Bhagavatam also. From mahatattvam, buddhi has come. Buddhi, when it says buddhi, you have to realize it's mahatattvam. It is mahatattvam. How does it say? Buddhir iti ahankara karanam mahatattvam. Ajari Swami is bhashyam on that. Buddhi iti ahankara karanam mahatattvam. You should know that, he says. Buddhi iti ahankara karanam mahatattvam. Ahankaram iti avidya samyuktam avyaktam. From where this ahankaram comes? Ahankaram comes from avyaktam. Avyaktam. Krishna uses the word avyaktam. Unmanifested. Unmanifested. From there it comes. So, mind, buddhi, ahankaram, all these three things, the five material elements in their most subtle form, plus these three things, mind, intelligence and false ego. 5 plus 3, 8. That's what we are. Our nature, prakriti. Prakriti is that. Now, this is shastric version of us. Shastram is telling us like this. And it's very difficult to reject this. Very difficult to reject this. No matter how much science tells us that we are this genes, we are that, we are so many things, it's all based on the body and the matter. It's all based on the body and the matter. Whereas Krishna's explanations makes us realize that this body is not simply a few elements, chemical elements or whatever it is. It's not that. It's something more complex than that, isn't it? That five material elements in its most subtle form, earth, water, air, ether, fire, and then these three amazing things, mind, intelligence and false ego. Mind has come from ahankaram. Ahankaram has come from mahatattvam. Krishna is saying, from mahatattvam it has come, ahankaram has come. And that buddhi also, Krishna says, you should take it as cause of from the mahatattvam. Buddhi has also come from the mahatattvam. All these things is called, these eight things are called that the material nature. All of them belong to material nature. There is a clear separation here between the soul and matter. Within the soul and matter. All these eight is matter. All these eight is matter. And we, our soul, we are above all these things, isn't it? Above all these things. So, therefore, sometimes he is referred to as Ashtamurti Dhara. Ashtamurti means these eight things personified, one who wears them. That is also another name given to the Lord. So, five material elements, mind, false ego, all of them together, mind, intelligence and false ego, this is represented as prakriti or material nature. Krishna gave the name to that as aparaprakriti. Krishna has given the name as aparaprakriti. That is, in the next verse, Krishna says it's called aparaprakriti. These eight things, Krishna refers to as aparaprakriti. It is in these eight things, it is our field of existence. We are in the middle of these eight. We, means the soul, is stuck in these eight things. In these eight things. Nothing else. Only these eight things. It is in the middle of eight. This is our field of existence. We exist in this field of eight things. So, why? Because
think about it this way. Earth is present as in the form of smell. Water in the form of taste. And fire present in us in the form of in the form, rupam, isn't it? When you see anyone in a particular form, you should understand there is fire in that person. That is why he gets that ability to take a particular form. I am in that form now, I'm sitting here, because there is fire inside. Due to the presence of fire, I got this particular form. I am sustaining this form. Similarly, because there is air inside, I feel the touch, sense of touch. And because there is sky in me, I can hear the sound. So, shabdam, sound, sparsham, touch, rupam, form, rasam, taste, gandham, smell, are nothing but the most subtle form of the five material elements present in us. Only because they are present in us, we are able to do these five things all the time. That's why it's mentioned here that Krishna calls it as apara prakriti, and this is our field of existence. This is our field of existence. All these eight things, if you put it together, that is the world and us. That's all. Nothing more than that. We make this world so big, saying that so many things, this, that and the other, but when you go into the most subtle level, if you look at it, this is all it is. This world is only in this eight. Everything is covered. Everything is covered in that. So, what is our world? Our world is what we see, what we taste, what we touch, what we smell, what we taste, what we hear. That's all, isn't it? The five senses which operate in this world, they are experiencing these five things all the time in one time or the other, isn't it? Sometime or the other we are experiencing all these things. That is our world and that is what is creation. So, that is why it's called prapancham. Prapancham it is referred to. So, prakarshena panjikritam. Panjikritam means these five material elements, there's a book you can read that book. It is called panjikaranam. Panjikaranam means how these material elements mix together in creation, the process of these material elements mixing together. That's called panchikaranam. Panchikaranam is a science in itself, and that is in the Vedic philosophical understanding also, it helps. So, prakarshena panchikritam, and what else exists? So, the five material elements, they join together. And someone who is seeing that, who is with that five material elements, one who is interacting that is the false ego. That is the false ego. And that is a jiva ahanda. Ahanda means the false ego of the jiva, the soul. When it is interacting with these five material elements, it develops that false ego in it, which has no substance, which is not real, but it does exist in that association. So that's me. That's with whom I am identifying. And I am also a part of this world, or this part of this world. In the dream state, dream state, also we see, isn't it? We see in the dream state also. We hear in the dream state also. We can smell also in the dream state, if the dream is very deep. And you can even taste in the dream state. So why is that? Because in the vacant state only senses are used, external senses. But because these tanmatra, or the most subtle form, this earthly element or the material elements are present in us, they can function without these holes in the body in the dream state. In the dream state, it can experience. So, they are happening within the mind. They are happening within the mind. So, along with that, ahangaraha. Krishna says, ahangaram or false ego, along with all these things, and this whole material nature, you have to take it. Complete material nature, you have to take it as Krishna's mind. Krishna's mind. Because all living entities together,
we are getting in a very limited level that experience. Very limited level, we are experiencing everything through the holes in the vacant state. And I call them the holes because of the senses, which are operating only in the vacant state. But the same experience you are getting it in the dream state. Why? Because of this tanmatra, sushma tanmatra, or the most subtle form, is present in us, and it is capable of experiencing the same thing without senses in the dream state. Yeah. So that is why in the dream state, you still hear. You can still hear in the dream state, isn't it? You still smell, touch, and also taste. Imagine in the dream state you are enjoying a feast. How will that be? Enjoying a feast in the dream state. There also this can happen. If the dream is powerful enough, you will experience that there. So, what I'm saying is that this mandalam means this phase altogether, whatever you may know in this world, whatever knowledge you have, you are still within the face of this, within this circle of this eight. You are not outside that. That's the important point. I'll tell you why. You see, we think that we have developed a lot of knowledge, lot of information we have collected from all over the world, lot of research we have done, lot of technology we have developed. We have managed to go here, there, everywhere. What Krishna is saying here, in a subtle level, I'm controlling you still because you are within this eight. You are not outside that. You cannot escape from that. This is the how subtle level Krishna controls us. You see, we say sometimes, we think sometimes, oh, technology has developed so much. Now we can go to moon, now we can go to Mars, now we can go elsewhere. But what Krishna is saying there is, as long as these five material elements and these three subtle elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, within which you are there, you are within that. And no matter how much knowledge you develop through research or science or whatever it is, you may develop any knowledge, you are still under the grip of this. You are not outside that. Only when you come out of that, you are free. Otherwise, you are not free. And as long as you are within the grip of this eight, you are under the grip of karma. You can't escape. So, what a good prison that he has created. Imagine that. How nicely he has imprisoned us. That is why Durga Devi Shakti. This is Durga Devi Shakti. Durga's power is this, that she won't make you feel that you are in a prison. She will make you feel you are very independent and you have a lot of freedom. On the other hand, she has put the chain all around so nicely that you have no freedom at all. In this, you can keep on changing the body, keep on changing the place, keep on changing the family, keep on changing the society, keep on changing your language, keep on changing the place of birth, everything. But you are always within this. In this circle, you are stuck there. No, that's why Krishna says here that whatever you may know, it's all within these eight things, within this circle of eight, within the circle of eight. Whether you are a materialist or whether you are a spiritualist, both of you are inside this. You are not outside this. So all these things together is called Maya. All these eight things together is called Maya. So now you know why Maya is difficult to understand. Sometimes we say, one devotee says to Prabhupada, I was in Maya. He says, Prabhupada asked him, as though he has come out of it. That's what he was saying. Prabhupada said to him, when were you out of it? He says. So when you know these things, you will never make a statement like that. I was in Maya. Sometimes, many times devotees say like that, isn't it? I was in Maya, they say. So I was not now. There is no time we are out of Maya. We are always in Maya. Even our spiritual life is going on inside this Maya. That is the beauty. That is the beauty. Even so-called what we will say, oh, temple is transcendental and I am beyond the three modes of nature. But no. In the reality thing is that we are all inside this Maya only. When out of pure bhakti, when Krishna takes us out of it, we are out of it. Otherwise, we are never out of it. Never out of it. We are always inside this. Maya is not a very
not a thing. Energy you can cross over like that. This is why Krishna says, isn't it? Devi Hyesha Gunamayi. Gunamayi she is. Three Sattvam Rajasa Tamas. Mama Maya Duratyaya, Krishna says. It's not possible to overcome. But Mam Evayam Prabhadyande, one who has surrendered unto me, which means a big thing, that surrender. It's a big thing. Maya Mevam Tarantide. He can get out of this Maya. So, how to get out of this Maya? Ashtadha Prakriti, that is our world. All of us are inside that, is Maya, is within this Maya. Our activities, our movements, our sadhana, everything is within this. Everything is within this. And our mind, our false ego, pride, everything is within this. Within this field and within this circle. All these things together is called temple. Krishna says Kshetram in another place, isn't it? Kshetram, Krishna calls it. Think about, expand this Kshetram. He'll say, we will say, what we call as spiritual, what we call as material, everything is included in that Kshetram. Our external world, internal world, everything is within that. We are performing meditation and process of meditation all within this. Sadhana, everything. Because false ego, the mind, we are keeping all that and we are executing sadhana. That's why it is. Because we are executing sadhana, keeping the false ego inside and the mind, therefore it is prakriti, isn't it? Prakriti is there. That is prakriti. Ahankaram, mind, intelligence and false ego is prakriti. Is not purusha. It is prakriti, material nature. So when we execute sadhana also, these three things are there. Which one? Ahankaram, false ego, mind and intelligence. So therefore Krishna calls it as apara prakriti. Apara prakriti. Apara means, as soon as you can say that, when Krishna says apara, there must be a para. There must be a para prakriti. So, something which is not in this apara prakriti, that's called para prakriti. Something which does not fall into this apara prakriti, that is called para prakriti. Just to give an example, in a lake, for example, there is a fish there, there's a frogs there, there is also water snakes there, and the water there, conch shells are there, lot of mud there, and various things. And all these things are within that lake, within the lake. And if the moon is shining in the sky, the moon is also in the lake, isn't it? The reflection of the moon. But if you ask, is the moon inside the lake? No. Moon is outside, but you can see the moon in the lake. Inside the lake. But although the moon is in the moon is not in the lake. That is the way it is, isn't it? Similarly, in this field of five material elements, mind, intelligence and false ego, there is someone who is inside that, but who has no connection with any of that. That's what we are. Self-realization is all these things. This is the realization of the self. That less like in the water, in the lake, there is all things in the lake. Fish, frogs, snakes, and the mud, and the leaves, plants, so many things, lotus flower, everything is there in the water. And the moon is also reflecting in the water. So we will say moon is also in the water. But the difference is, moon is somewhere else, but he reflects in the water. The soul also, in a similar way, the closest analogy is like that. As far as function is concerned, soul is like that in relationship with this body. He is there, but he is not there. He is there, but he is not there. He is there, and because of that, that is his presence is sufficient to all these things, to function. All these things to function. Because he has no connection with any of these things.
It's not that because he activates this, no, his presence, in his presence, all these other eight things will function. Provided he should be there. If he's not there, they won't function. They can't function without his presence. So, but he is independent. His presence is there, but he is independent. We cannot see that from a material level. It has to be understood that way. He is present there, therefore it can all function. But if he is not present, that's what is called death. He is not present. He has gone. That is death. Everything else is there, but he is not there. But you can't see him. This is how we are. How we are living in this world. So the person who has gone out, that is what Krishna is saying in the next verse. Verse 5. Aparayam idas tvanyam. Prakritim vidhi me param. Jiva bhutam mahabaho. Yayedam dharyate jagat. Aparayam idas tvanyam. Prakritim vidhi me param. Jiva bhutam mahabaho. Yayedam dharyate jagat. Aparayam itastvanyam prakritim vidhi me param. Jiva bhutam mahabaho. Yayedam dharyate jagat. So, in the last verse, Krishna talked about apara prakriti, isn't it? Bhumi prithvi tanmatram uchade sa na sthulaha. That was the first statement. Bhinna prakriti ashtada iti vachana tadhabi adeyo adeyobi tanmatrani eva uchyande apam analam vayu kham mana iti manasakaranam ahangaram grihyade buddhir iti ahangara karanam mahatvam ahangaram iti avidya samyuktam avyaktam. Ahangaram or false ego has come from avidya. Avidya, samyuktam, avyaktam. Avidya and ahangaram together comes from mahatattvam, avyaktam, avyaktam. Yatha visha samyuktam, annam visham iti uchyade, evam ahangara vasanadvad avyaktam mula karanam ahangaram iti uchyade, pravartakatvad ahangarasya, ahangara evahi sarvasya pravarti bijam drishtam loke. In that commentary also it says that this ahangaram in us, along with the vasana inside us, whatever vasanas we have created, vasanatvad avyaktam mula karanam ahangaram idichade pravartakatvad ahangarasya. This ahangaram starts functioning in this world along with the vasana. Vasana gives the stimulation for ahangaram to operate in this world. That is understandable. Whenever we function in this world from ahangaram level, from the platform of ahangaram, in other words, when we make up certain, when we decide to do something, it's ahangaram that's operating, isn't it? So that ahangaram will operate based on the vasanas inside. Based on the vasanas inside. That's why it mentions here that evam ahangara vasana vad avyaktam mula karanam ahangaram iti uchyate. From avyaktam it has come. Avyaktam, it has come, unmanifested. Ahangaram has come. Pravartakat, and ahangaram has come from unmanifested. Mula. But along with that, vasana has joined from us. We brought the vasana. Ahangaram came from mahatattvam. They both joined together and then we started our business in this world. So, ahangarasya. Ahangaram evahi sarvasya pravarti bijam drishtam. The seed of all actions, you can see this ahangaram. Ahangaram evahi sarvasya pravarti bijam drishtam loge. In the world we see that it is the bijam, the root of all actions in this world, what's going on. He says ahangaram evahi sarvasya pravarti, all activities, bijam drishtam loge. You can see it is the bijam, it's the root of that activity. Yeah. Ahangaram evahi sarvasya pravarti bijam drishtam loge. We see that. Ajari Swamiji says that. We see this every day. That in the world you see that pravarti bijam drishtam. That all activities, the bijam of that we can see is this ahangaram evahi. Nothing else. That's why itiyam yathokta prakirtir me ma maishwari maya shaktir ashtadha bhinna bhedam agada. And when all these activities are going on, idhiyam, yathokta, according to the needs at that particular time, when you start the activities, yathokta, prakriti me mama aishwari maya shakti, this opulent maya shakti, she provides all the facilities for this ego to work, along with the vasana to work. That's her job, to provide us all the facilities for that to work. Mama Aishwari Maya Shaktir Ashtada Bhinna Bhedam Agada. And because she is giving that facilities, in different forms people are functioning in this world in different ways. Mama Aishwari Maya Shaktir Ashtada Bhinna Bhedam Agada. And therefore, in their activities, the variegatedness has come. The variegatedness has come in a person's activity. Ahankaram is in us. Along with that, our vasana has joined together. Ahankaram and vasana together, you see there that activity begins in this world. That you will see. It's happening. And the idiyam yathokta prakritir, and in order that activity, to facilitate that, maya shakti, she provides Maheshwari all her capacity, she provides all the facilities for this ahankaram to operate here. And ashtada bhinna bhedam agada. And because she is providing through three modes all the facility, these varieties have come, variegatedness has come in the activities of the living entities. We can sit and think animals are acting in one particular way. We are acting in a different way. Isn't it? How all this has happened? How this variation has happened? They are 100% sure what they need, animals. They want food and a place to sleep or some sexual relationship. That's all they are looking for. They are not thinking about all other, going to other planets or building any multi-scraper buildings or anything. They are just satisfied with that. So their ahankaram, their vasana, their the facility for them, for their existence in this world, she provides that, maya shakti. She provides that in a, according to that desire, their vasana. For our desires, our big plans, she provides all the big ideas in our head, makes us carry on, you also carry on with your plans, and she gives all the facilities for that as well. This is maya. So that is the important point Krishna is saying here. So bhumi rapanalo vayu khamano buddhi revaja ahankara idiyame bhinna prakriti ashtada prakriti. These eight things, that's their business. And in the next verse Krishna said, avareyam idastvanyam prakritim vidhime param jivabhudam mahabaho edam dharyate jagat. Now here he says here that the apara prakriti, Krishna gave that name. And now we are talking about the prakriti or the apareyam idastya, this verse which refers to the paraprakriti, isn't it? Paraprakriti. What does he say? That in that lake we are talking about, the moon is reflecting, isn't it? So all the living entities in the water, like this, frogs and snakes and fish and everything, they are looking at the moon in the water and they are thinking he is also with us. They are thinking about the moon in the same way. But still there is a difference than us. They know that about him. In the same way that that they are thinking about the soul, we are also thinking in the same way. There is somebody there. Is he really with us or he is not with us? This question is always inside our mind. You can think about it in this way, that we know very well all the time that I am not this body, but somehow or the other I am this body. Why this constant flicker happening inside? When you are sober and you are in a peaceful state, and when you read Bhagavad Gita or Bhagavadam, or when you hear about the soul, on a spiritual level, on an intellectual level, you are accepting that, yes, there must be a superior energy inside us, which is not independent of this material body, mind, intelligence and all. But at the same time, we all are thinking that we are this body, mind, intelligence and ego. Similar to these living entities in the water. So, So, what is that thing that you are aware of inside of this? There's only one thing. If we look into the doctor's way of looking at it, doctors calls this anatomy, isn't it? And there's also the physiology, anatomy and physiology inside. So, in the physiology, there is this anatomy, like the doctor's language, if they use that. So, and inside that, there is a psychic, mental experience also. Similarly, within this mind, within this body, within the senses, and within this false ego, inside something is there, and that is me, and that is my experience of I am, I am, I am. That's the only tangible thing what you know about the soul. You see? Inside all this mess of five material elements, mind, intelligence, and false ego, there is something which is independent of all that, but who is conscious of everything. I am existing. My awareness, bodham. That is the only proof of the existence of the soul inside. Is it not? That is why we keep saying that this one amazing thing we don't take notice of. That my awareness, that I am, I am, I am. Aham, aham, aham. Aham asmi, aham asmi, aham asmi. I am there, I am there, I am there. Whether it is in the Jagrat, Satnam, Sushupti, waking, dream state, deep sleep. When I wake up, I am there. When I go to sleep, I am there. When I went into deep sleep, I am still there. So all the time, this I am is not leaving me. If you take part of my leg, cut it off, I am there. My I am has not reduced. Even if you take 25%, two legs and two hands, you cut me off from the body. I won't say, oh, I have 40% gone now, I'm only 60%. I am still 100% and I am that bodham, avabodham, or that awareness has not left me. So that is still there. And Krishna is saying here that the moment you touch that experience, we are not touching that. We know that it is there, but realization hasn't happened. The moment you touch that, the most amazing thing that you can see that you get on closer to that, it will keep on expanding. That awareness will keep on expanding. So, as soon as you touch that, and once you get dissolved in that, you know that this Apara Prakriti has no existence at that time. Apara Prakriti has no existence. Apara Prakriti, there is no such thing called Apara Prakriti. This is why in Vedanta philosophy they say that body doesn't exist. When we don't understand the principle of all these things, if you tell someone, oh, you don't exist, your body doesn't exist, what will they say? That they'll take us to the hospital for treatment. If I tell somebody, you don't exist. Yes, you exist, but what you exist is really only that consciousness. It's only due to that consciousness you are aware of the existence of the material elements, mind, intelligence, and ego. But from the outside, when you look, if you ask someone what is there in the water, they will say the snakes are there, the frogs are there, the fish is there, the water is there, the mud is there, and the plants are there, and the moon is also there. Similarly, within this material nature, or within this Maya, we are situated now, and we call this as Apara Prakriti. But beyond this Prakriti, there is another Prakriti, a double nature. And one is mortal and other one is immortal. One Prakriti, one nature, which is made up of all these five material elements and false ego, mind, intelligence, that is mortal. That is mortal. The other thing, what is inside that, aham, ahamasmi, ahamasmi, that is immortal. That is immortal. One is full of blemishes, the other is totally blemishless. This material body, mind, intelligence, ego, and all that, mind, intelligence, ego, all the eight things, they are subjected to some deficiency or some kind of changes, isn't it? Blemishes can happen to it, body can get deranged, mind can go, isn't it? Intelligence can disappear also. You lose all your intelligence, discrimination goes away from us. Ahankaram can also change, either go up or go down, whichever way it is. But the one inside, he has no blemishes. Nothing happens to him. Nothing changes. One is in the busy with the karma. Karma mandalam. Which one? This Aparaprakriti. He is busy in the karma. Paraprakriti has nothing to do with the karma. Karma does not, has no effect on him. Karma has no effect on him. It is this Aparaprakriti that is keep on changing. Accepting different body. That means what's happening is, when we leave this body and we accept another body, what has happened is, we have changed our Aparaprakriti. Paraprakriti has not changed. Aparaprakriti we have changed. All the bodily, new body, we have new set of Aparaprakriti, we got it, which is likely to change. So Aparaprakriti is always busy with the karma. Aparaprakriti is busy with the karma. Paraprakriti has nothing to do with the karma. And therefore, because it's like that, Aparaprakriti will die, Paraprakriti will never die. Aparaprakriti is mortal, Paraprakriti is immortal. Paraprakriti is immortal. So, Aparaprakriti is mrityu, death. Paraprakriti is nectar. Paraprakriti is nectar. One is steady, other one is always changing. Paraprakriti is steady. It doesn't have to change anything. Aparaprakriti constantly changes. So these two things with contradicting features, they exist together inside us, isn't it? That's what we are. Two things with contradicting features, all contradicting, totally opposing things. That's what we are. And so mind, intelligence, false ego, there is a force coming from that, operating within us. And that force is called, we're talking about the body, mind, intelligence, there is one force. Altogether we call that as the mind. Because it is the mind that is behind everything, isn't it? Body functions based on that force of the mind. Intelligence also is influenced by the mind. So the mind is that force, that's combined force of all these three. Body, intelligence, ego. But there is, that is called the mind. Now, outside this body, outside the mind and intelligence or the false ego, there is another force inside us that is called Chit Shakti. Remember? Chit Shakti. Satya Chitta Anandam. That Chit Shakti is that. And Lalita Sahasranam says, Chit Shakti Chetana Rupa Jada Shakti Jadalmiga. There is a statement in the Lalita Sahasranam, because Lalita is, Sri Parvati is Maya. Is Maya. She is also worshipped, isn't it? When Krishna came, she also came with Krishna. In fact, she came and prepared the field for Krishna to come. So when she was allowed, Krishna told her that you will be given a due respect in this world, worshipped in so many places under name, different names, and people will worship you, offer their respect to you. They will accept you. And that Chit Shakti which has come, that's what Krishna is calling here is Jiva Bhudam Mahabaho. Jiva Bhudam. He calls, this is the path we should carefully look at it. Krishna is saying here, Jiva Bhudam Mahabaho Yayedam Dharyade Jagat. Jiva Bhudam. This word will be always, people who do not study Sanskrit or understand Sanskrit, they will interpret in a different way. They think that Jiva Bhudam means Jiva has come separately from the soul on its own. Jiva Bhudam means that soul which has transformed as Jiva. Which has transformed as Jiva. Jiva Bhudam Mahabaho. Otherwise, what will, you know where the problem is? Yedam Dharyade Jagat. If it was not like that, Jiva cannot sustain the universe on its own. If it has not come from there. If it is not the same force which is the original soul from Atma, from where it has turned into, it has become Jiva due to association with false ego, and also in that jiva state, on its own, it cannot sustain the universe. Because that is the next line, jiva bhutam mahabaho yayedam dharide jagat, it says there. So you can see here that that same soul is dressed up as jiva now, is dressed up as if an individual seems imprisoned in the upadhi. It appears as though he is imprisoned. Actually, he is not imprisoned. But it appears as though he is imprisoned inside its upadhi. Upadhi means this mind, body, intelligence, ego. And just like in the prison, just like he is imprisoned. So, and what happens? Then it appears as though he is limited by the mind. He is limited by the senses. He is limited by the intelligence. So, that jiva bhutam, that bhutam which has become as jiva, when you know what it is, and when you give attention to that, then you will know that it is not simply a jiva. It's not simply a jiva, it is jiva bhutam. But we think that it is jiva. We think it is jiva. Appearance of a jiva, but when you start giving attention to that and start realizing what it is, then you know that it is in no way different from the soul, from the soul, Krishna. In any way, in quality, it's no different from him. Now, in the beginning, in spiritual life, we will say like this, that that jiva is separate. We have to say like that till you get to that state. We have to say this. Why? Because when bhakti develops in the heart, bhakti can only be between two people. One person is a devotee, one person is the master. Isn't it? Krishna is the master and we are devotees. We are devotee. We are not Krishna. We are separate from Krishna. And this separation will exist till you come to the very, very, very high stages of bhakti. Very, very higher stages of bhakti. Therefore, 99.9% of people in this world will always be separate. Jiva and Paramatma will be. Jivatma and Paramatma has to remain separate till, if ever a stage comes after continuous practice of bhakti, when he gets to that stage, when he has come completely purified by bhakti, at that stage he will see jiva in all qualities is the same as Paramatma, not much different than them. So this understanding cannot happen today or tomorrow. It won't happen. While executing bhakti, we are servants, Krishna's servants. We are not Krishna. We are Krishna's servants. What actually happens is we don't become Krishna. What we realize is at that stage only Krishna exists. Nothing else exists. That's what happens. So, jiva bhutam mahabaho eyedam dharide jagat. In order to understand that, therefore, eyedam dharide jagat. This jagat or this world is imposed upon jiva. If it is simply jiva, without any of the spiritual quality inside that, it will appear as though the whole jagat is imposed upon the jiva. So they can see here that the jagat is situated within that jiva. Jagat is situated within the jiva. That is why if you look into Srimad Bhagavatam, very first words that when the definition of the soul starts like this, janmadyasya yataha, people who have always thought about Krishna only through the form, they'll find it hard to relate with all this truth what is spoken there. That simply saying, it is Krishna, the two form. No, Krishna is more than that form what we see inside the temple or the deity, whatever we are seeing. Krishna is everything. In everything, that's why Janmad, instead of saying Krishna's name straight away, Bhagavadam, he could have started like that, isn't it? Vedavyas didn't start like that. What did he say? Janmadyasayataha. That Janmadyasayataha, that means in which, in whom this creation, this maintenance, and this destruction, and everything, karma yasmin brahmani arobidam. He says here that apara na para, Nikrishta Ashuddhanartha Kari Samsaram Bandhanatmigayam. ಇದೋ ಎಸ್ಸೆ ಯಥೋಕ್ತಸ್ಯಾದ್ವಾ ಅನ್ಯಂ ವಿಶುದ್ಧಂ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿ ಮಮಾತ್ಮ ಭೂತಂ ವಿದ್ಧಿ ಮೇ ಪರಾಂ ಪ್ರಕೃಷ್ಟಂ ಜೀವಭೂತಂ ಕ್ಷೇತ್ರಜ್ಞಲಕ್ಷಣಂ ಪ್ರಾಣಧಾರಣ ನಿಮಿತ್ತಭೂತಂ ಹೇ ಮಹಾಬಾಹೋ ಯಯ ಪ್ರಕೃತಿಯೇದಂ ಧಾರ್ಯದೆ ಜಗದ್ ಅಂಧ ಪ್ರವಿಷ್ಟಾಯ. ಇನ್ ಅದರ್ ವರ್ಡ್ಸ್ ಕೃಷ್ಣ ಸೇಸ್ ದನ್ ಇನ್ ಓನ್ಲಿ ದಿಸ್ ದನ್ ಸೃಷ್ಟಿ ಸ್ಥಿತಿ ಸಂಹಾರಂ ಇನ್ ದಿ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ಹ್ಯಾಪನಿಂಗ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್ ದಿಸ್ ಮೇಂಟೆನೆನ್ಸ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಈಸ್ ಗೋಯಿಂಗ್ ಆನ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದ ಸೋಲ್ ದ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿಸ್ ಹೋಲ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಟೆಡ್ ಮ್ಯಾನಿಫೆಸ್ಟೆಡ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಆಲ್ಸೋ ಗೆಟ್ಸ್ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಾಯ್ಡ್ ಆಲ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಬ್ಯಾಕ್ಗ್ರೌಂಡ್ ಆಫ್ ದಿ ಸೋಲ್ ಸೊ ಸ್ಥಿತಿ ಉಲ್ಭವ ಪ್ರಳಯ ಹೇದುರ ಹೇದುರಸ್ಯಂ ದನ್ ಸ್ಥಿತಿ ಉಲ್ಭವಂ ಪ್ರಳಯಂ ಪಿಪಲಾಯನ ಮಹರ್ಷಿ ಸೇಸ್ ದಿಸ್ ಇನ್ ದ ಭಾಗವತಂ ಇಫ್ ಯು ಲುಕ್ ಇನ್ ದಿ 11th ಕ್ಯಾಂಟೋ ಯು ವಿಲ್ ಸಿ ದೇರ್ ಸ್ಥಿತಿ ಉಲ್ಭವ ಪ್ರಳಯ ಹೇದುರ ಹೇದುರಸ್ಯ ಸ್ಥಿತಿ ಉಲ್ಭವಂ ಪ್ರಳಯಂ ದಟ್ ಮೀನ್ಸ್ ಮೇಂಟೆನೆನ್ಸ್ ಕ್ರಿಯೇಷನ್ ಸ್ಥಿತಿ ಉಲ್ಭವಂ ಪ್ರಳಯಂ ಡಿಸ್ಟ್ರಕ್ಷನ್ The cause of all these things, but it is not the cause. Pralaya hedu ahedu rasya. He is involved in all these things, but he is independent. But he is independent, always independent. That is why the word swarad in the first verse. Janmadhyasya yadonvaya idarasas chartesh abhijna swarad, it says. Why that swarad? Swarad is this capacity. It is not that Krishna is standing there creating all these things and I am not saying I am not created anything. No, that happens in this way. His very presence is sufficient, everything can happen. And he is not affected by anything from what he has created. And we are stuck in this created situation ourselves. Although we belong to Krishna. Although we belong to Krishna. So in a devotee's level, we are always separate from Krishna. Always separate from Krishna. And when bhakti develops, one day, when we become qualified, for that realization, Krishna will make us realize what we are. Only then you can say that I am not a jiva. Otherwise, I am a jiva, very much meant to go through this whole process of sadhana bhakti and all the other things what we do in spiritual life. So, sthitil bhava pralaya hedu hedu. That means, srishti sthiti samharam. It all appears as though it's all happening in him. It appears so, but nothing is happening, and because he is complete and perfect within himself, and it cannot be touched by anything. So, but when it becomes jiva, there is that awareness is still there, isn't it? Then one is you come to know about that awareness, which we call it ahamasmi, ahamasmi, ahamasmi at the moment. When we come to realize that, then there is no more material body existing. And it is a big mystery this is. And this is, Krishna is calling this as the Ashtada Prakriti. So you can see, when self-realization happens, only then body does not exist. Body does not exist. Today only body exists for us, isn't it? Only body exists. But when realization comes, what Krishna is saying there, Janmadhyasya yataha, birth, janmadi, from birth onwards, birth and maintenance, destruction, all these things, various changes, adhyasya yataha, is him. It is in him all this is happening. And when it's happening, we identify as the jiva, and jiva is present in all these things. And when realization comes, only through bhakti, Krishna is saying, through bhakti, when bhakti develops, a stage will come, that while execution of Krishna consciousness, bhakti, we are always separate from Krishna. And only then you can execute bhakti. And bhakti, when it comes to its perfection, even after coming to paraprakriti, some people will decide, I like to remain in that state. That is those devotees, because they enjoy the different rasas with Krishna. Shandam, Dasyam, Sakhyam, Vatsalyam, Madhuryam, all these rasas, they want to enjoy that with Krishna. So they have to remain in that separated state. Only then you can enjoy the rasam. But those who do not want that, those who want to join Krishna, they have the other option also is given to them. whichever way it is. But that is at a much later date. We'll see that later. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.